Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Bring along the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to add a sprinkle of joy to your workday. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I'm Alec Mappa, and I'm here to introduce a woman so full of goodwill, it's in her name. Please welcome Lonnie Love.
Hello, Alec. How are you?
I'm good. You're Miss Showbiz, so I just want to know, did you meet Brad Pitt at the Bullet Train premiere?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Did you meet him?
I went to the Bullet Train. Yes, I met him because I know one of the stars is Brian Tyree Henry.
Love him. Love him. On Atlanta.
Actor.
He's so good. Are you watching Atlanta?
So good. I'm watching Atlanta. I watch everything that he does, and he's such a cool guy. So
is
I was.
He? Oh, good. I'm
he
glad
really,
to hear
really
that.
Is.
Yeah.
But I was waiting at the end. I went to the Bullet Train premiere. You know, I didn't want to go, first of all.
Why?
Because it's just a lot happening in
I
the
never want to go. Having said that, I never want to go.
Never want to go. But yeah. This was a huge premiere. Now, you know, since COVID, there haven't been a lot. There have been tiny premieres, not something huge.
Yes.
Alec, I'm so glad I went because
what
I went.
What theater was it at?
It was down in Westwood.
Okay.
At the UCLA theater.
Oh, that beautiful theater. Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
I mean, when I say it was, it had to be hundreds of fans all lining the streets because it's a very small little area by the campus.
Yes.
And the red carpet, the pink carpet, was huge, Alec. Mm. It was huge because
it's Brad Pitt.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I did the carpet, had a great time. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to wait on, you know, Brian. Maybe he'll come and I can, you know, say hi to him. So I waited like at the opening of where the theater was. And
he
they started
pushing
everybody.
He has to pass by you
everybody.
Sometime. Yeah.
He came, right? Mm-hmm. With Brad Pitt. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God. My friend is with Brad Pitt. My friend.
And I've never seen him in person. I've never seen Brad Pitt in person.
Okay.
So I didn't know how he was going to act or whatever. But of course, Brian sees me. And I was like, hey, bro. Hey, Lottie. And so we take a picture and Brad is right next to him. And I said, Brad, can I get a selfie? He's like, yeah. And he comes in for the selfie so you can look at it on my Instagram. It was great. And, you know, we're getting back to normal. It's just like what we're doing with Drag Race. I think because I did this season that it was, you know, the season of the pandemic.
Yes.
But
you were
now,
on every week. I think you lived at the
week.
Studio
exactly.
in order to be hermetically sealed against any infection. Wait, before we go on to Drag Race, and we are going to talk about Drag Race, trust and believe, I want to know about Brad Pitt. Is he tall? Did he smell good?
He's taller than me. He had on like a mint green, a linen suit, a very comfortable, casual. Hair was slicked back, but it had dried out a little bit. And breath was minty fresh.
Minty fresh.
And, yes. And he smelled like a man. Like, not like, you know, like overdone.
It wasn't
really
funky.
No.
It was
no.
a little musky, a little man smell.
A little manly.
Little, yeah,
it was like, I didn't care.
Did
it was
you
breath.
Get excited? Did you get? Did you?
You know what? I was cool about it.
Because I know you went with your boyfriend, which I don't. I wouldn't take my husband to a Brad Pitt premiere.
James,
I would be
James
like,
got a
home.
Picture. James got a picture with him.
Okay.
I mean, he was right behind me.
Yeah.
And what happened was Brian took a picture with me and Brad. And then James was like, hey, Brad. You know, when Brad saw him, he was like, he took a picture with him. So he has his own picture. So it was great.
Okay, really,
really
quickly, other stars.
This premiere was filled with stars. You had Joey King, who is also part of the movie. You had Bad Bunny, who is also in the movie. He was there. There was Simu Liu, who is the star.
Oh, yeah, from Shang-Chi. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And when I say he's so nice, and his girlfriend, Jade, she's an actress as well. Mm. I took pictures with them. Ryan Destiny, the actress and singer, she was also there. So it was packed full of stars, especially a lot of young Hollywood. And it was really a great time, and I'm glad that I went. And, you know, maybe we can get back to normal now a little bit. Just a little bit, you know.
See, like, this is the thing. If I'm invited to a premiere, I'm like, okay, I'll go. But if the movie's terrible, I leave early and I go start eating the food. There's an after party. So I went to one of the Fast and Furious movies. There have been so many of them. I went to that premiere. Mm-hmm. I walked the red carpet. I was like, I'm not the audience for these movies. If you like these movies, don't hate me on Twitter. I was not interested in Tokyo Drifting. And so I left the theater and I just ate everything in sight.
You know what, though? It's important to go to those, though, because especially when they're the major ones, because the next day I got an offer for a Christmas movie. And I think it was because of
you
the
showed
press,
up and you showed her
and
face.
And I showed up. Yeah. That's
what
I
that's
think,
why so. My husband says to me, he says, like, if I don't want to go to something, mm-hmm. he'll say to me in the gentlest way, get the fuck out of here and get a job and make more money.
We're
bitch.
Always trying to get jobs. So, and with that, let's do our job to recap. This is the last recap episode for All Star 7.
Yes. The very last one. But
well, last week we spoke to the winner, Jinx Monsoon. Yes. That was exciting. I was so excited. And I've seen all the press that she's been getting. And it's just so great for her. And people were so happy about her win. How did you feel about it?
I felt genuinely happy about her win. I felt that, well, having seen her perform live, having known her all these years and knowing how hard she works, how original she is, I'm very, very happy. And I was even happier after talking to her because she was so cool.
So sweet. Cool. And she was in Australia. I want people to know that she has been doing press from Australia, so the time differences have been, like, major. But she has been a champ. And this is what you do when you win. You got to do it, you know.
Absolutely.
Today, we're going to take a look back at the incredible season of All-Star 7, the all-winner season. We're going to talk about some of our favorite moments and themes we've noticed. Mm-hmm. And we have a very special guest, Alec, who are we going to talk about?
Monet Exchange is going to be on the show today. Monet Exchange.
Oh.
Have you met her?
No, this is my first time interviewing her. Yeah. Oh, just really cool, really nice, and I just can't wait to speak with her. You know? Did
so
some
talented.
Exciting things, very, very much so. But first, we want to spend a little time to share some exciting Drag Race Emmy news.
Yes, specifically RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14 has been nominated for 11 Emmys.
Did you say 11?
Wow.
11. 11 Emmys, including Outstanding Host for a Reality or Competition Program and Outstanding Competition Program. Didn't you just win an Emmy for makeup?
I just won my second Emmy for makeup, and I also won for host. So it's just great.
Where do you keep the Emmys in your house? Where do you keep them where everybody can see?
All of my awards are on a library. It's a white bookshelf because my whole living room is white, and I have a white bookshelf, and so I put all of my awards there so that people, when they come in, they can see it. And it's just a talking piece.
It's like, there's my two Emmys. I got two of them. One's for makeup. I'm a makeup artist as well. Well, we're so excited. You know, if you want to catch up on all of season 14, it's now on VH1.com. There's so many fun challenges. There was Moulin Rouge, the musical, in which Lady Camden won it because she was playing the ringleader, kind of the show person who was putting on the show, kind of the Zidler character from the movie. And it was a character she didn't want to play. And she ran with it and said, I'm going to have fun with this, and won. That was so cool.
I love that. And Jasmine Kennedy came out as trans on Untucked. And that was a big moment. How huge was that moment, Alec?
It was a big moment for her. I mean, just to kind of seem like, you know, any moment before you come out, I can't speak for everybody, but you are crossing the threshold to live in your truth. right? Mm. And you are so filled with your own truth that you're willing to risk what people think of you. You're willing to risk relationships. You're willing to risk a parent's love. You know, a lot of people come from loving families and still are afraid they're going to lose their parents if they come out. So it was very brave for her to do. Not only did she come out, Cornbread is trans, Willow later came out as trans, Bosco is trans, and Carrie Colby, bringing the grand total to 5. We had 5 trans queens this year. And I just think about, you know, you think about all the trans people. This is such a great moment for trans people in time, because I always think back historically on all the trans people who have lived throughout history who did not have this luxury. I mean, you said last week for what this show does is it acknowledges everybody's humanity.
Yes.
Right? And it's so much harder to be prejudiced against somebody you've actually met or a representation of somebody you've actually seen. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not the scary thought in your head. The scary thought in your head is always scarier than the actual reality of somebody going, I'm trans. It's like, oh, it's just you. You're lovely. You're great. So that was a really, really great moment.
That was a good time. That was a good moment. And I'm glad that that happened, you
Me
know,
too.
Because we're still fighting, you know.
Always.
And, you know, in addition to that, there's always twists during the season. So they had this chocolate bar twist. And every queen was selected a RuPaul chocolate bar. I got a chocolate bar because they give you, like, you know, a box of goodies.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, what is this? That chocolate was delicious.
I heard the pre-pandemic gift basket at RuPaul's Drag Race was better.
What was it?
I heard they used to give a suitcase out. Like, I did Khloe Kardashian's show, Cocktails with Khloe. I got a suitcase full of Kardashian droppings, which was all the hair product, all the stuff that they didn't want. You know, that they get shoved at them all the time. So I had sunglasses. I'd done Christmas shopping for every woman in my life. I just gave out product. But I heard on RuPaul's Drag Race, they used to give out all this stuff. And ever since the pandemic, you get a robe and snacks, which is what I've gotten. I'm not being ungrateful, but I would like them to bring back the pre-pandemic goodie bag for the next time I'm on. My favorite part of the chocolate bar was when they would unwrap the chocolate and it would go...
You like sound effects.
I love sound effects. I live for them. They also had that terrible snatch game where they were all... Deja Sky was the only one who won. And then they were all lambasted for doing such a terrible job.
Have you ever seen anything like that in Snatch history?
Nobody had any jokes prepared, which is why All-Star 7 was amazing. They were all amazing. You had to have jokes prepared. I mean, that's like you on stage. You have your material, but you're ready to kind of work with the audience as well. Right?
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of crowd work?
At the end, I like to meet people. You know, at the end of my acts, I really do.
Do you know Yamanika, this comic?
Yes.
Yeah, she can do her crowd work. She can do a whole show just like ragging on people in the audience. She's so funny. If I'm doing crowd work, things are going badly. It's like, okay, you're not finding anything I'm doing funny. I'm going to go out and talk to you. And so they have that terrible snatch game. And then they all had to, they had a lip sync Lollapalooza right after that to see who was going to stay. Oh my gosh, so exciting.
But do you know what? Through it all, Alec, RuPaul was still a great host, which is why if you're an Emmy voter, be sure to give RuPaul and our queens their flowers. They're making history.
Yep.
They're giving you fashion. They're giving you comedy. They're giving you heartfelt stories. I mean, this is a well-rounded show. I don't work for shows that don't have meaning behind it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Unless the money is there.
Okay.
Anyway.
unless I'm getting $100,000 per episode.
Okay, don't go anywhere, because when we come back from this break, she's going to deposit some more knowledge on us. All right, Monet Exchange is here.
Yay!
I can't wait.
Don't go away.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more.
Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
We are back, and we are very excited to be joined on the program today by the runner-up of All-Star 7, one of the original twinners of All-Stars 4. She's here to tell us her favorite moments and experiences of the season. Please welcome to our fine program, Monet Exchange.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me, Squirrel Friend.
Oh, absolutely. Monet changes everything.
Monet.
Lottie has been waiting to talk to you. She has a million questions.
I have been waiting, Monet. First of all, congratulations. All-Star Season 7. You clearly rocked it. What was going through your mind in this finale, though? Because this was something like no other.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, going into the finale, I was like, oh, girl, this is what I do. Like, this is what, I think this is what RuPaul saw in that audition tape 6 years ago. I was like, oh, I need this bitch on my show. Like, I am a great performer. Performing is, like, my thing. I love doing that. So I was excited to go into these lip syncs and really give all that Monet, Monet, Monet. I wanted to come and do it. So I was very excited going into the lip sync smack up in the crown.
You were amazing. I mean, really kind of like you added another dimension to your dimensionality, as it were, as a performer. When you sang opera, nobody saw that coming. And in my estimation, it was kind of like the secret garden, you know, where they open up that door and all of a sudden there's a whole other room, a whole other place. How did it feel to do that?
Oh, it was amazing. Let me tell you something. I spent $150,000 at Westminster Choir College in Princeton, New Jersey for 4 years. I spent a lot of money on this degree. And it was a bit of, and even then, it wasn't even my first choice. I was going to sing something from my upcoming R&B album. And then literally like the episode before, so like 2 days before, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. This is my last thing because this is. I'm never going back on Drag Race again. Three times is more
never
than enough.
Never say never.
So, girl, I am saying never. I am Brandy. I am never saying never. I am saying never. I was like, you know, I'm done. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let me just do some classical music. I've told people this for so long. Yeah. I was like, let's just do it. And I sent the challenge department into a tizzy so I can find an orchestral arrangement of the song because, spoiler alert, we don't have a full orchestra on staff at Drag Race. So but they got the orchestra recording and then I did a tech with it and I was like, yeah, let's do it. So it worked out.
It was fantastic.
It was excellent.
It was so
good.
Thank you.
I know my favorite moments of you of this season, but what are your favorite moments from this season?
Yeah.
I have to say, honestly, this final lip sync, before this, Pondy Alon was my favorite lip sync. This Swish lip sync has surpassed that for me because I just loved everything that I thought about bringing to it. I did that little lipstick gag at the top that we didn't really get to see, but I had, right before we walked on set, I was like walking from the workroom to the main stage and I was like, I should get a lipstick and do like I'm sending her home. And then, so I like grabbed one of the Anastasia lipsticks and I was like, asked Sophia, I was like, do you guys have any white nail polish? Because I knew I couldn't get white out because of Vendela Crown. They've mixed, you cannot find white out within 1,000 miles from the Drag Race set. So I was like, I want to touch up my nails with some white nail polish. So then they got it for me. So I like scribbled Jinx's name on the lipstick. And then I presented it at the top of the lipstick and I pulled it out and put my lipstick with on and I put it on. And so I love that I did that. I love that money moment. And you know,
I love that.
Yeah.
That money moment was like straight up fire. Like it was like you went into a video.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you know, my drag really did start with ballroom scene. Like I started sneaking to kicking functions and blah, blah, blah. So 13, 14 at the gay men's health crisis on 23rd, on 24th and 7th Avenue. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like really discovered like what like drag was. In that last little voguing catwalk ballroom moment at the end, I was like, I felt like I was kind of bringing my drag back to what it was at the beginning, which is how I discovered it within this moment. So I was really excited about doing all that on stage. And you do it, but seeing it again in Technicolor and seeing it, I was like, wow, I really fucking body this lip sync. Work on
it. Yeah, it was so great. We got to talk a little bit about your Twitter alliance. Was that pre-planned? Was that something you guys planned before going into this?
I wouldn't say it was pre-planned because, you know, they tried to keep it secret. But girl, we knew each other who was going to be there. We were all texting each other. I was like, oh girl, what time? You know what I mean? So we knew. But I didn't go in thinking I was going to start an alliance with Trinity. I think that Trinity, it just like organically happened. And Trinity was the only one willing to play in the game with me. And bitch, mm-hmm. it ended up working out for her because of our alliance. That's why I choose Trinity over Jada. So, and also Trinity had 4 wins to Jada's 2. Yeah. So it worked in my alliance and it also worked fairly too because it just made sense.
Monet, everything that you did this whole season, I hope you are as proud as we are proud of. Mm-hmm. I know that RuPaul got emotional.
Yeah.
You got emotional. That whole feeling of emotion and the thought that you put in from your costumes and everything. What was your favorite costume from this season?
Oh, yeah. I was about to ask that, too.
My favorite costume. I have a few. One, I'll give you my top three. My top three looks of the week. My favorite one would be in week 2, Blood of the Principle. I really love that Schiaparelli.
Oh, beautiful. With the bow and the abs. The bow. A dress with abs.
Yeah.
I want every gown on the runway now to have abs and pecs.
Well, you know, I can't get them in real life, so I was like, I should just get a dress out of it. That was my fave. I really enjoyed my Dolly one because my assistant, when we got the prompt for that, we knew we wanted to do the coat of many colors, but they don't make patchwork fabric like that. And if they do, it's like those old American Eagle Bermuda short fabric, and we were not doing that. So so we're like turning around, and Patty's like, "Oh, my mom can quilt." So Patty's mom, his late mom, rest in peace, Laminda. She passed away this past May.
Oh my gosh.
She quilted that. She quilted each patch of those by hand for over 40 hours.
Oh,
and she quilted all of that together by hand. So it was that, it really is really dear to my heart. And I really also enjoyed my 3-in-1 look. I really enjoyed that one because, you know, drag at its core will always be political. It was always a political statement saying, fuck patriarchy.
That was amazing.
And then so I will always use my chance to be political, whether it's for women, queer people, black folk, whatever it is. I will always, in the end, period. So I really enjoyed that.
That was so beautiful. The journey you took from Harriet Tubman to We Still Fight. Unbelievable, so effective. But what I also loved how everybody brought their culture in. There was so much great black hair this season. And I'm thinking especially your hair in the Queens Challenge, the crowning challenge, where you were the queen from Queens. You were the Brooklyn queen. That was amazing. Who made that? Who came up with that?
Big shout out to Edward Scissorhands. I have to tell you, from season 10 to now, the accessibility of black wig designers and black wig makers who can attain these hairstyles that I wish I could have had before, but that did not have the access. I didn't know where to find a full lace wig, so I can't have box braids or whatever it is. So I went back on All Stars. I was like, I want to be my whole blacky black self, and that was included in getting designers like Edward Scissorhands, like Trillian Hair from New Orleans. Edward is from Florida, to get them to make these beautiful black hairstyles. And between myself, Shane, Jada, and Evie, we really had the whole Atlanta hair show up in that workroom. It was great.
It was an Atlanta hair show.
That's what
all
it was.
You were missing was that guy voguing around you with the scissors. You know,
that's like a helicopter. There's this iconic clip of the Atlanta hair show. I forget the name. And there's with a helicopter in the air. It is.
Yeah, the helicopter in the air.
I should have did that. God damn it.
You can always do it. Well, Monet, how did you feel about the format this season with no eliminations, the stars, the platinum plunger? What was your feeling on that?
You know, I'd say when we were all there recording, we were like, girl, the fans are going to hate this and no one's going home. It's going to be so boring. But come to find out, people really enjoy the no one home because you got to see everyone's stuff. So it was really nice. And the plunger was also a fun twist. On TV, it was definitely a gold plunger. So the art department needs to get some new glitter because it does not translate to the TV. But the platinum plunger was a nice little twist.
Okay, first of all, before you leave, you are so sexy as Mike Tyson. Very, very cute. When you said you were going to fuck everybody in the ass, that was a highlight. Best and worst decision you made this season? When you watch the season back, what was, you were like, okay, I'm the shit, and then, okay, I'm the shit.
My best decision, I would say... My best decision was to wear open-toed shoes this season. Let me tell you something. In season 10 and All Stars 4, by the end of the day, when I tell you my feet were, I mean, not even, I don't know what, y'all can't see, but I had my fingers scrunched up into the most gnarly looking thing. My feet would be a mess those seasons. And this season, and every chance I got, I would open-toed shoes. And girl, we could have done the show all night long. I was ready to go. It really changed my life. We're open to shoot the season. And my worst decision, maybe I would have. So I had for three looks, for the light up look, for the knitted look, and for the veil look. I had like multiple options. And I wish I would have done my other veil look, which maybe I'll do a shoot with it and post it on my social media. But my friend Dominic Couture, he made this like Jedi like veil thing, like something from Star Wars that was really dope. And I wish I would have done that instead of the veil I did. But I still enjoyed it, but I would have done that. Maybe I would have, that would have pushed me over to win the Drag Race features. Who knows?
So what is next for you, Monet? Because you have done so well. And can I ask, have the fans been kind to you?
Yes. You know, with this final episode, they really have been kind. There are lots of very nice things going out there about me. People wishing really lovely things. But, you know, there's always going to be trolls. Yeah.
Who fucked you? That's what I was really trying to get to, Monet.
She works for E! Daily. She wants to get to the meat of the situation.
Oh, you know, who fucked me yesterday? That's who fucked me, honey.
I love it.
What is next for me? I'm currently here on set doing a really fabulous thing for Hulu that's coming out on for Halloween. I'm very excited. I've been here for 2 weeks. And then Sibling Rivalry Tour, Bob and I, we have our Sibling Rivalry Tour launching in September. It's really fun. We're tickets are selling really well, but tickets are still on sale. You go to bobandmonet.com. And because of singing opera for my talent show, I've gotten some really great opportunities to do some fun stuff in the classical world, and I'm very excited to announce that stuff too. And you know, it's always been a dream to, you know, to kind of do something else that none of the other girls are doing, which is always nice. You can make your little mark and you can carve your little space, so I'm really excited to do that and to sing beautifully in drags, like up in drag.
Yeah, Monet at Carnegie Hall.
Girl, Alex Moffat, girl, I claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus Oprah. I claim it, okay?
Yeah, Carnegie Hall. And I think that you will come back for a season if it's just you and Bob. If it's you, 10 episodes of you and Bob battling for the death, like Hunger Games style, where somebody will actually die at the final episode.
That's something that I would do. That a 10th episode, just me and Bob, us do it. Now that's a season I would do, Alex. I would definitely do that.
Thank you so much, Monet, for your time. And congratulations. We enjoyed you so much. And I hope you're proud of everything that you did for this season.
I am. And just y'all know, I am very big fans of y'all. Lonnie, I have been watching you since I was old enough that my mom would let me stay up and watch Comic View with her. Alex, I'm a really big fan of you. So thank y'all for having me. This is really great.
Oh, absolutely. We wish you the best and safe travels. And if you listen back to any of the podcast, we talk so much about you and your ass and how talented you are.
And the representation. Yeah. We are so proud of you. Thank you so much.
Thank y'all.
Love you.
Love you so much.
Oops, I want to keep talking, but it's time for a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global,
Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Love her. It's so great to talk to Monet about her memorable moments this season. Now it's time to talk about a few more of our favorites. Our favorite moments, Lonnie. Let's start with how the queens brought their culture and life experiences to the show. We've been talking about this every week, all the black hair moments that were on the show this week. First of all, I was excited that half the cast was black. Because, as you know, I've been bringing up historical facts about drag in America and how it was started by a former slave in Washington, D.C., who popularized the drag balls in D.C., and then they went to New York, and then in the 1920s, it blew up. Everybody wanted to know about drag. So the black drag queens, what they did was bring their culture to the runway.
And it's important because it's so colorful anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you look at someone like what Monet had on when she had the tracksuit, nobody would have thought a tracksuit could be glamorous.
Right.
But Monet made it glamorous. And when you add the tracksuit, which hers was very colorful, it was white with pink and blue. And then you add the hair to it, that black hair, which is a crown of braids.
It was a crown of braids with a tiara knit into the crown.
Oh.
She had these two kind of like knit braids coming down the side. It was like royalty from Brooklyn.
Yes, Brooklyn royalty.
Yeah.
That's it, Alec.
Elevating,
you know. And then you had Shea Coulee with her beautiful. I mean, this was an. I felt like it was a Wakanda.
Yes,
West
royalty.
African.
Yeah.
Yes, it, definitely.
Yeah, it was a column of braids that led up to this almost like disc on top.
And like Queen Nefertiti,
kind of like Angela Bassett as the Queen of Wakanda in the Black Panther series, with this beautiful floral look. Oprah used to talk a lot about on her show about black hair, and she goes, what it is about black hair that's remarkable is this kind of intricate braiding is something that was brought over from Africa, and it was a piece of culture that the slaves were able to hold on to.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And pass from generation to generation.
Well, what a lot of people don't realize, too, is that, you know, our hair used to be braided. They would do all kind of things when they braided the hair. Mm-hmm. They would put notes in it. And they would put all kind of like, you know, signals, and they would braid it a certain way so that it would actually present messages.
Mm-hmm.
So our hair has always been a part of our history.
Yeah.
And the thing about culture is that we can represent everyone's culture, which is why I'm glad Raja represented her culture so well.
Right.
You know,
right.
With her dance.
With the Balinese dance. Absolutely beautiful. She brought her culture to the runway. There are a lot of people who may not have seen the dance in the traditional costume that Raja wore, which was like a beautiful sari with this gorgeous golden crown.
Yes.
And also to remind people that Raja was the very first and only Asian American winner of Drag Race. But back to the black hair, really important. I adopted a black son, and that's where I had to go to black hair care school, because I made the mistake of taking my son on public transit one time, and he had a busted fro and ashy knees. And if looks could kill Lonnie Love, the black people on this subway looked at me like I had just murdered somebody.
And they're going to be like, see, that's why we don't like them adopting our kids.
Yeah, yeah. To the point where I asked a complete stranger, just give me some lotion, just anything. You have some lotion, I'll take care of this. And so I never made that mistake again. He always went out with perfect hair.
I have a lot of friends that have adopted. I will help them with the hair. And I always make sure. One of the gifts that I give them for the baby shower or for, I give an adoption gift is lotion. If it's a black child.
Lotion is so important.
Cocoa butter.
And then I realized also the thing about black hair is the time it takes to do black hair. Yes. And also, drag queens played a part in, like, he was watched by drag queens. Shangela, before she did Drag Race, used to look after my son. That's how we became friends, because we were friends in town. So, is the time that it takes, that is part of the Black culture. The time you spend together on the hair is hours. So that's gossip, that's family time, that's bonding time. We would just use that time to watch Star Wars movies. And when my son had dreads, it would take 3 Star Wars movies. That was an entire day.
But well, that's all about representation. Yeah. But not only did we represent with the hair, but this season of All Stars represented people that had health challenges, like Evie Oddly.
Yeah, Evie Oddly suffers with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, a disease that causes hyper flexibility, which is why she can do all that stuff, due to a lack of collagen production. But at some point, it will start to impact her negatively. She won't be able to walk in heels. She won't be able to perform to the extent that she's performing right now. So that made this time on Drag Race really precious to her, as she told Rue, because she says, there's going to come a time where I won't be able to do all of these things. But, you know, anytime somebody talks about something that they're going through, mm-hmm. even if it's as something as specific as this kind of syndrome, there are people out there who are suffering from it as well, you know? Or you don't even have to have it to empathize to, like, oh my gosh, this is somebody who is just battling through it. So props to Evie.
Inclusivity is what we do at Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the amazing looks from this season. Alec, you've been great this podcast going over the looks. What were some of your favorite runway looks?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I've been a huge Shea Coulee fan ever since her last All-Stars appearance.
Yes.
And when she says that her drag at its purest form is a tribute to all the Black women in her life, I looked forward to every single drag look. Even when she did this something, it was like, this is a tribute to my aunt who loved gardening. And she came out in that veil and beautiful pleated outfit. There were other whimsical looks this season that I absolutely loved. Jada Essence Hall was a showstopper in all of her looks, like the seasonal looks where she went through 4 different seasons. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how she did it. She would just like pull a button and she'd go from summer to spring to winter to fall. Absolutely amazing.
I loved Raja too this season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could tell just a model, straight model looks, elevated looks.
Right,
you
know? Raja's kind of, she did so many futuristic looks. She did that look on the runway for the final thing that where she looked like the alien queen.
Yes.
Just so beautiful. And a shout out to all the designers who worked on everything. All the incredible designers that are out there. I don't have their names in front of me, but we should talk about them at some point. Raja did a golden outfit that was absolutely beautiful, that almost had a helmet or a face piece that went over the front. She was so modern and ahead of the game, she didn't even look like she was from this planet anymore. It was like, definitely, I'm the queen of Venus, and this is what everybody's wearing.
All the runways were great, too. Yeah. I love the glow-up runway, where I've never seen that, Alec, where it was dark, and then everyone had something, an outfit that would glow.
I know.
That was magnificent to me.
It's not enough for me to be a man in the dress. The dress has to now glow in the goddamn dark. I have to, like, come up with that, too. What was the memorable ones for me? I mean, really, it's like, now I have to be on fire, literally.
But because you all are so talented.
Oh, okay.
That's why. That's the challenge. You guys are talented. And you know what? You ladies, the queens, just, they come up. They came up.
They,
you know? Jinx, which was your favorite? You said you had a favorite one way?
Jinx Monsoon came out as a witch, and it looked like a white bridal gown. It looked like a full-length ball gown with these pointy shoulders at the top. The lights went out, and from underneath the dress, there were fiber optic flames. They were orange and red flames that pulsated through the dress, up through the shoulders. She had a fan that produced false flames at the top. I said they were like the Pirate of the Caribbean flames at Disneyland. And she literally looked like a witch on fire. Absolutely beautiful. Evie Oddly came out as a mushroom, as a bioluminescent mushroom. And that was beautiful. I think that was the most beautiful she looked all
that
year.
That runway alone should be an Emmy winner for the whole season. Just that runway.
I mean, alone. I can't get over it.
Another thing I want to talk about, Alec, is this season we had fashion. We had representation.
Yep.
But we also had comedy. And we love the comedy. That double snatch game, tops of all tops.
Oh, my God. I don't think, you know, we went from season 14 where everybody was eliminated. Everybody. To this snatch game where everybody was amazing. You had Monet Exchange as Mike Tyson. So funny. Going from Mike Tyson to Shanae, Martin Lawrence as Shanae. You had Raja as Madam. And then
with the puppet
with
hands.
With the puppet. Oh, so funny. To Diana Vreeland, the editor at Vogue. And of course, Jinx Monsoon, who went from Natasha Lyonne from Orange is the New Black to Judy Garland. And just kind of, you know, there were four different comedy challenges here. And we need to emphasize that Jinx won all of them. She won four comedy challenges. I mean, even if you didn't win, let's say she didn't win, she would still walk away with bragging rights that I won all four comedy challenges. But her, Judy Garland, you know it's going well when she can take over the program completely, look into the camera and say, is this my camera? Start singing, and then nobody stops her.
Nobody. Nobody. We're all just like, she just lost us into that. That's something that will always be remembered. But also, there was the fairy tale justice. Oh, my
yes.
Goodness.
She played a pig. She played one of the three pigs, and hilarious as a pig, she was like a social media pig, little pig who like spoke this like vocal fry, and she was so funny.
And I also like the Vivian during that, because the Vivian is very, very performative.
Yes.
When I was over in Ireland, I was watching television, and I saw the Vivian on one of their shows, one of the comedy shows.
Oh, no way.
I got so excited when I saw. Yeah. Yeah, I saw her on one of the comedy shows, and she was hilarious.
Yeah, well, the UK is a smaller country than America. So the UK Drag Race has launched all the queens on that into the stratosphere.
Wow.
You know, I've been watching all the Drag Race franchises because I'm like Nikki Blonsky in Hairspray. I watch the Courtney Collins show, and I don't do anything else. I watch Spain. I watch France. I'm watching Australia right now, and the European ones, Spain, you could tell that the culture is different in that the queens, it's more of a very masculine culture in Spain. So what they're doing is a little more dangerous.
Oh.
Is a little more dangerous to be out, a little more dangerous to be effeminate in a culture that really prizes kind of that Latin machismo. So it's really exciting to watch. Australian drag, they're really dirty. They are filthy girls. They love a dirty joke. It's all about poo and boobs and bodily functions. They're hilarious. And super technicolor. Do you remember the movie Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
Yes.
And like all the drag queens are super colorful. And there's so Australia premiered last night. And there is a hot drag queen who is from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. He's Maori. And he looks like The Rock if The Rock were a drag queen. Like
really?
A scaled down, his name is Queen Kong, and he is stunning. On Instagram, he's Queen Kong with a KWEENKONG.
I have to look that up, because
so
that's what we love. It's just, you know, another reason that we should be winning Emmys. It's worldwide. Has started here and then been able to take off worldwide and is still prominent? You know, so it's just wonderful. The other thing I wanted to bring out with the comedy was the commencement speeches.
Commencement
I thought
speeches
that was
were
really
so funny.
Great.
And
they also had heart to it too.
They did have a lot of heart. They kind of all brought up the comedy in doing a commencement speech. The commencement speeches were so funny. Jinx Monsoon came out dressed as a witch and said, clearly I was meant to speak at another commencement, but this will do. That was really funny. Raja did a totally spiritual commencement speech.
Yeah,
that was very,
she was
very
like
funny.
A wizard.
And Trinity was funny. Trinity was hilarious. And all of them brought a lot of heart to that challenge. And of course, you know, no drag race would be complete without a roast.
Oh, we gotta have a roast.
Yeah, where they all roasted each other, and they were hilarious. And it ended up, I love that the roast turned into nonstop jokes about Evie Oddly's dick.
And they left it in. I love it. I love that they left it in.
Do you like a dirty joke? Do you like?
Oh, I love a good dirty joke.
I think funny's funny.
Funny is funny.
This is my favorite dirty joke. If you don't think this is funny, we can't be friends. It's not really clever. It's just dirty. So there's these two women at a supermarket, and one of them points to a pile of potatoes and says, "Those potatoes remind me of my husband's balls." And the other woman says, "Are your husband's balls that big?" She goes, "No, they're that filthy." It's just gross.
That's so funny. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Jinx didn't tell a potato ball joke, but she did win 4 different comedy challenges.
Which is the reason why she's the queen of all queens winners for this year.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
All right. When we come back, we have something very, very special that we're going to talk about, because we know this is the end of All Stars, but it's the beginning of something else.
Something new.
Ooh, we'll be right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back.
Okay. Now that All Stars is over, we're going to be covering an all new RuPaul's Drag Race franchise. We are going to be talking about Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
I cannot believe they brought it back. I don't know what the format is going to be. So what's the secret, Alex?
Okay, so I haven't seen anything yet, but from what I've seen from the promos, it's going to be like your celebrity thing. With the drag queens, celebrity drag race. Coaching celebrities in their drag performances, but it's going to be like The Masked Singer. We're not going to know who the celebrity is until they're eliminated.
So there's
going to be like a big major reveal after all the performances, and you're not going to know that it's Brad Pitt or Brian Tyree until the end of the program.
That is interesting, because when I did Secret Celebrity Drag Race, well, it wasn't secret, it was just Celebrity Drag Race. Mm-hmm. I was with
Vanessa Williams
and Tammy Roman. Mm-hmm. And we just did like a day or 2 days of Drag Race.
Yes.
But we were known. So this is a total different format.
I know. What are they gonna do? I'm so curious about this. Like, how are they gonna
keep it? I'm trying to wonder how are they gonna hide their faces, or you know, so that's why you gotta
We're going to recognize them right away. I'm going to say, that's Meryl Streep. I've seen her. You can't hide it. Even if you block out her eyebrows, I know that that's the Vice President, Kamala Harris.
Well, you know what? I think that, you know, I never did drag before.
Yeah.
So whoever is doing it, it's going to be an experience for them.
Especially not only did you do drag, Lonnie Love, you wore RuPaul's wig.
Yes, I did.
You wore, that's like, you know, you wore the crown. You wore a wig that has touched RuPaul's head.
I felt golden. I felt like a queen. And I know anyone that steps in drag, and this is the thing, if you're going to do drag for the first time and you're able to do it with RuPaul's team.
Oh, my God.
Honey. Yeah. It's all the way live. Mm-hmm. Seriously, because it's no stops. They're going to custom make every outfit.
Yes.
They're going to make sure that the hair matches the actual outfit.
So you then showed you up and the outfit was there for you already? The dress was there?
No, I actually helped design the outfit with the wonderful team at RuPaul.
If
I can remember his name, because he actually stitched out, he had some sketches.
Yes.
So it was made by hand. Like,
Keep the dress?
No, I didn't keep it.
Damn it.
I did keep the tracksuit, because they handmade a sequence tracksuit for me. Mm-hmm. And then I had, like, and I did a wig snatch. And then we did the final runway look, which was this long sequence pink. They put padded hips on me. And then they cinched in my waist.
Yes.
I was wearing a corset. And when I said that was the funniest thing, you remember when Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
When
Hattie McDaniel is tugging on the strings of the corset. You had a baby. You ain't gonna be no 25 inches anymore.
You gonna never be no 28 no more.
Yeah.
No, ever. That was me. I'm like, oh, I was never a 28 to begin with.
Did you have to really inhale like...
Yes, you have to inhale. It's tight.
Gosh.
But the look, once you get the look, and he even handmade a coat with fur trim on it.
Oh,
so if
beautiful.
You're going to do drag, do it with RuPaul and the Drag Race crew, because they pull out all the stops. They give you everything that you want. So I'm excited about this season. I'm excited to see who, and you discover yourself. I mean, I don't know for you, but for me, we live in a society now in this country that's a little more open.
Right.
But even to do it, you still have to pull something out of yourself. So that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
You want to see the fashions that these celebrities are going to have. You want to see their persona. You want to hear about their drag name.
Right.
But you want to see a lot of stuff.
And like you said, what comes up? Like, for me and drag was like, I've always been the goofy kid. I've always been the class clown. I've never been the thirst trap. I've never been sexy. I've never been kind of like the boy who falls into that category. But when I was in drag, people were like, oh my God, you're really attractive. And I was not used to that
attention.
Kind of attention. I was like, okay, well, usually I'm used to doing the funny dialogue, but I can do the leading lady
now
dialogue.
That's sexy. It's a whole different way, you know?
Right.
So we are so excited for Secret Celebrity Drag Race. It premieres Friday, August the 12th on VH1. And we love VH1.
Yes.
So,
and our recaps start, we're going to recapping the show, and that's going to start Monday, August 15th. Listen, if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. If you're a returning listener, thank you so much. Tell everybody you know about the podcast. Leave us a great review. And don't forget to show all of our queens love on social media. Anytime I hear a drag queen say that the RuPaul drag fans are vicious or harsh, that breaks my heart, because you and I both know everything that these queens go through in order to get on the show. So if you talk about them on social media, remember, there's a human being there. There's a person
and
appealing.
Kind,
show
people.
Them love. Show them love.
And be kind to Alec Mappa. He's been working this whole podcast. Where can they show you? Where can they show you some love?
You can show me love on Instagram and Twitter. You can DM me on Twitter and I'll answer your questions. You can DM me on Instagram. You can follow Lonnie Love at comic Lonnie Love on Instagram and at Lonnie Love on Twitter. I swear to God, you will be more informed about show business than if you read Variety or The Hollywood Reporter every day. They don't know nothing. Lonnie Love is on the ground living her showbiz life.
Listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you like this episode, make sure to rate and review us. Like I said, give us 5 stars, please. And tell a friend.
Catch new episodes of Secret Celebrity Drag Race on VH1.
We'll be back next Monday for an all-new episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. We'll see you soon. Bye!
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.